A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant. That's a G, yo, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah!
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
We discussed this yesterday. Houston Rockets, at least for now, are on the clock third in tomorrow night's NBA draft. I think I actually might go to the party at Toyota Center tomorrow.
Did you get the special invite?
I did not get the special invite, but
neither.
Vanessa asked if I was going, and I was still like, no, should I? She said, yeah. So I sent him an email, and they said, yeah, I can come. So I'm going to be there. But these Rockets, whether it's going to happen before the draft, during the draft, or after the draft, are allegedly, per Mike A. Scotto, an NBA reporter, quote, big game hunting. The names that we have seen, Paul George, Kevin Durant, Jimmy Butler, Mikal Bridges, Brandon Ingram, Brooke Lopez.
Yeah, that's not big game hunting.
Marcus Smart. Marcus Smart did win Defensive Player of the Year not too long ago. Marcus Smart seems to be the most likely candidate to join the Rockets if they make a move. There's been a lot of talk about them potentially trading out of the three spot with Memphis for the ninth overall pick and for Smart. Again, we'll see if that actually takes place. But I figured we should start a new segment. We're going to go on a safari for the Houston Rockets.
Should the Houston Rockets be big game hunters?
One of the biggest mistakes I ever made was with this big crocodile right here. I had him over there, and he started up the young blokes and tried with the young female, so I had to catch him out.
It's win now mode, baby. We're looking for a star.
Supposedly, this is the Houston Rockets intro song from the 1980s and 1990s. I have no idea, but this was. I looked it up on YouTube, and this is the Rockets intro song.
As long as it's not from Space Jam.
As long as it's not from Space Jam.
It's not from Space Jam.
Can't play Space Jam. I think Marcus Smart is more like deer hunting.
Deer hunting?
Like, a lot of people can do that. A lot of people can go deer hunting.
Can you deer hunt?
I've been deer hunting.
Did you deer hunt with a gun, or did you deer hunt with a bow and arrow?
Gun.
You're no Joe Rogan.
Of course not.
Did you really think that he was in there?
I mean, I've shot a bow.
Joe Rogan's 5'8". He could do it.
You're right. I mean, I can't do it. I've just never done it.
Cavemen were short, and they did it.
Yeah.
Oh, they were doing it with spears.
And this isn't a height thing, Paul. It's just that I just haven't done it.
I feel like it's probably easier to do it if you're shorter.
My arms aren't as long.
That's why elves are so good at bow and arrows.
It's like tall people playing golf where there's just more room for the mechanics to go wrong.
Uh-huh.
You're just more compact with the
exactly.
Bow and arrow.
That does make sense.
Yeah.
Logically.
I don't think it makes sense. But
I hear you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Like, I hear you, Sean. Okay? Thank you for standing with us, short people.
Elves are always really good.
Okay.
What? They're really good at shooting bows and arrows.
That's inappropriate.
What? That's from video game franchise.
And Lord of the Rings.
Although the Lord of the Rings elves are tall.
Yeah, but you're exactly.
Well, you're not talking, he's always standing
next
to Gimli.
You're not talking about the tall elves.
Well, I'm just talking about the Bosmer from Elder Scrolls, bro.
This is an inappropriate conversation. I'm offended. I'm calling HR.
So Marcus Smart is deer hunting.
Yes.
Okay.
And there is reporting, it was today, like this morning, from Kevin O'Connor at The Ringer, that Memphis has not and will not trade Marcus Smart.
Oh, they're trying to raise. They're trying to make this go from a deer hunt to a bison hunt.
I mean, this is prime NBA lying season. So take that for what it is.
Smokescreen season.
Yeah.
Mm. You really like don't want to trade Marcus Smart for the Grizzlies?
I think it would be really funny to see how the internet reacts to trading for Marcus Smart because everyone will be upset.
Yes.
Rockets fans will be upset by it. I would enjoy it, but it would be terrible basketball because Marcus Smart will do a lot of infuriating things offensively, but defensively, as someone who likes defense more than offense in basketball, yeah, I'm one of those guys.
I mean, they're going to be locked down like Dylan Brooks and Marcus Smart.
They're going to be the most physical, allegedly dirty team in the NBA, and I'm going to love it.
They can throw out a lineup with Smart, Brooks, Tari Eason, and Steven Adams.
Let's go.
God, pray for anyone who goes tries to go
Cam
into the
Whitmore,
paint.
Too, could theoretically go in there and shove people.
Cam Whitmore, hey, or Amin Thompson. Like,
put Cam Whitmore. That's Cam Whitmore time. Okay, he's the only one that can shoot. So he has to play. He can play the least amount of good defense, and he's the only one that tries to put the ball in the bucket.
There we go. Cam Whitmore will sign up.
It would be really fun if that's what the Rockets just started doing. Like, we're just gonna play Red Rover every single game. Clothesline your ass.
Just like 90s basketball. We just have two guys. Are they good? Not really, but they'll beat you up.
90s basketball with guys who actually are laterally quick instead of, as the Gen Z kids call them, plumbers.
Yeah. The Rockets
not
are going to be
Dale Davis.
The Rockets are going to be trendsetters.
I hope so.
Everyone's thinking about three-pointers and offense.
No. Goon ball.
Goon ball. So, some of these other names that are listed, I don't know. Paul George, Kevin Durant. This idea that they're in win-now mode is crazy to me. Jimmy Butler would be fun, but I also don't think Jimmy Butler is changing them. They would just be more relevant with Butler, in this order, Durant, Butler, Paul George.
Yeah, I agree with that.
For this year.
Yes.
I don't want to be in the long-term Jimmy Butler business. That's probably the least interested I am.
I mean, I would like to see if Jimmy Butler got mad at his Rockets teammates and decided to play with the twos against the starting Houston Rockets.
It's more the late 30s for someone who played Thibodeau basketball and doesn't really have the best jump shot out of the three. That seems tough to me.
Yeah, I'm officially a pass on all of these options.
All of them?
Yeah, I don't want them. They don't play enough basketball. They're not out there. I don't want to give up a bunch of assets for a guy that's going to play 55 games and make $65 million or whatever it is.
Why not?
Seems like a bad idea, Paul.
Okay.
Seems like a bad formula. Okay. Seems like a not winning formula. Now, they'll be the sixth seed. So if that's what phase three is, it's getting to the sixth seed, then the Rockets have it within their grasp. They can get there this year.
Yeah. and then Jalen Green and Alperen Sengun. Then they get into their prime, and then boom.
As soon as you
now
say
you're the
that,
three seed.
Tillman Fertitta, he's hearing that, and he's like, playoff tickets?
Yeah.
Money. That's
two or three home games?
I think there's got to be other stars that are available or players that are available that you can acquire that are just younger. Like Mikal Bridges, I get why they want to do it. If you look at his seasons, he's been a little more up and down. Last year, post-deadline, he was a disaster. But he's a good basketball player. I'm not giving up the future first round picks for him, but I'm interested in Mikal Bridges. Brandon Ingram, depending on what you have to give up, you can sell me on that idea. But there's I'm not all in on these guys. I'm not giving up every Brooklyn pick and a Jalen Green and the third pick this year to go get those guys. They're not that big game hunting yet.
Yeah, there's no one that's going to be available that's going to be worth Green and a lot of people.
Unless this De'Aaron Fox story has some juice to it, that he's not willing to negotiate his contract with the Kings. And I just don't think that's going to happen today and tomorrow.
I was going to say, that's more of a next offseason.
Yeah, but if De'Aaron Fox is a guy that's looking to get out, that's someone that I'm putting. That's hunting, what's the biggest animal we can think of? A lion?
Elephant?
Tiger hunted. We'll go home. A tiger.
Yeah, sure. Tiger hunt.
Yeah, tiger hunting.
Is that a thing?
I hope not. It's probably illegal. It's probably illegal.
I would assume.
I always just think of like the safari hunting, like the guy, the dentist who took a picture with the lion, with the shot the lion. Remember that one?
Oh yeah.
But lions
got canceled for that.
Lions are kind of frauds. No offense to old Cecil the lion and such, but they're kind of frauds. They are.
I will say I was as we were doing
they
segments earlier.
They ain't played nobody.
They ain't played nobody.
This says I found lots of articles that said lions only have a 25% kill rate.
Yeah,
that's pretty low.
Yeah, they're the coolest. They got the coolest hair.
Yeah,
but I mean, tigers are hiding in the jungle and stalking their prey. Leopards are probably the most versatile of all of the big game cats. And yeah, look.
Do we have kill rate power rankings, Joe, on that website? You found the lion power.
I like that.
Kill rate. Can we just get the from highest to lowest?
I'll find it.
It's like the batting average.
The
leaders.
Problem is when I type, I Google Predator ranking, and then it comes up the movies. Mm-hmm. So like I have to refine my.
Oh,
search
that's
here.
The biggest game actually.
We have a comment on the Twitch from Chalupa Batman. These guys know nothing about big game hunting.
Yes.
Big buck hunting, though. Oh, you're done, kid. Correct. We'll smoke you.
Correct, Chalupa. We don't know anything about big game hunting.
Yeah. That's the point. So, a couple of thoughts, Joe, that you have. this has to do with the possibility that the Rockets might trade out of that number three pick. Is there something that you want in exchange for that? Because we heard from yesterday Kelly Eco, who was with the Killer Bees, that they are right now contemplating moving down from number three. Teams are looking to move up to get Reed Sheppard from Kentucky or Donovan Clingan from UConn.
Well, this goes back to the Marcus Smart thing a little bit. If you're going to trade out of three, Lauri Markkanen from Utah is someone I have in mind. If you want to go the veteran route, I wouldn't be totally against DeMar DeRozan, I'll be honest. Like, he can, it's a different version of basketball. He plays the mid-range game still, not much of a three-point shooter, but he's still a good basketball player. To be honest, I would have just traded the third pick for Alex Caruso if they're talking
Caruso.
About
Caruso.
No.
Like, yes.
No,
come
you
on.
Gotta. No, you
over
gotta.
Over Marcus Smart?
You gotta get the 11th pick back.
No, sorry, that's what I mean. That's what I mean.
Okay.
Like, instead okay. of like Marcus Smart in 9 for the third pick, I would have done that for Caruso for
11
Caruso
and Caruso.
11.
Yeah.
No. So, like, that would have made more sense.
I don't take Alex Caruso seriously, despite his very good defense and very good three-point shooting.
But why? Those are the two names I have in mind.
Why not?
It's just the way he looks.
Oh, racist, Paul.
No, it's his hair.
Oh,
the headband on a bald guy, it's like, you don't need the headband, dude.
It's better than his college look. His college look is bad.
Yeah, those are tough at A&M because he's got the hair still.
Oh, he's,
on the
you
side,
didn't give it up.
But it's like very thin and like shaved down.
And basketball lighting is the least forgiving.
It is very unforgiving. Yeah, Derek White found that out the hard way. Now Derek White's got a chipped tooth, for God's sake. That was a brutal moment.
I do have this list whenever you guys are ready.
Oh, well, hit us. What's number one? Mosquitoes, as a texter points out? Because mosquitoes seem like they would be the biggest.
They are.
Low
they
key.
Are. This one is apex predators. So
apex predators.
Oh, not in the weight class.
Number one, African wild dogs. 85% successful kill rate.
Wow. But they're a pack. Like, it's not one-on-one. It's generally, like, 6-on-1.
Team over me.
Hey.
That's true. Yeah. The Rockets way.
Black-footed cat.
Whoa.
60% successful kill rate.
How big is a black-footed cat?
Well, they could be...
It sounds like a house cat.
But here's the thing. It says, like, 10 to 14 kills in there. So. And it says gerbils.
Yeah.
Small birds.
Okay, yeah. so it's small. It's literally just a house cat.
Yeah, but these are like success. These are the best.
This
killers.
Is success.
Yeah, this is success. Cheetahs, 58%.
Really?
Really? Yeah. I wouldn't have thought that. I figured cheetahs were all speed, but, you know, no bite.
Leopards, 38%.
Leopard, pound for pound, you're giving me a draft. That's the most versatile.
That's your
apex
pick?
Predator, yeah.
Here we go.
I want a leopard.
Paul, domestic cat.
Yeah, domestic cat's up
32%.
Yeah, Aria.
Are number 5 on this list.
Aria is a little killer.
But again, beating up on a cupcake schedule.
Yeah, for
what?
Sure.
What? Just because they like killing birds to leave me as a present? That's a nice little treat?
I'm just saying if you swapped leopards and Aria,
I mean,
the numbers would look different.
That's true. The leopard would have killed the German Shepherd Husky mix that my cat, for whatever reason, thought that it could take. The one time I brought a girl over that had a dog like that.
All right. Lions, number 6, 25%.
Okay.
Wolves, number 7, 14%.
Oh, damn. Rough day for dogs, although the African wild dogs are
number 1.
Sitting up top.
Polar bears, number 8, 10% successful
kill
rate.
Only 10% for polar bears?
Yeah.
Maybe they need to work out like James Harden doesn't.
Number 9, tigers, 5%.
Oh, that's a disappointment.
Okay, apparently it's only a list to 9. Who makes lists 1 through 9?
Apparently. Yeah, just throw in a 10th one.
Yeah,
throw in domestic dogs. I don't know. Just throw in a thing.
Pit bulls. 100% kill rate.
Sure.
Again.
And on that note, that's going to wrap up the Galana George Show. All your questions about pit bulls or thoughts on pit bulls, send them to the Killer Bees. 713-780-3776.
He never, ever does that. Ever.
Oh, really? Well, my child looks like that kid in House of the Dragon. Up next, Galan and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. The Astros, they're in the hunt. And what do you do to calm your nerves? Because I doubt you did what this successful athlete did. Galan and George, stick around.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Galant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
So, the Houston Astros with their series resuming, with a series beginning against the Colorado Rockies tonight. Two-game series, have Hunter Brown on the hill. They're actually dogs per mybookie.ag. Promo code BET975. No faith in Hunter Brown in his recent stretch of good pitching?
That surprises me.
For shame. For shame. But I myself am waiting for the other shoe to drop. No offense to Hunter Brown. It's been great. Yeah. We saw him for the most part last year and what he was. One new pitch that, for whatever reason, hasn't been adjusted to yet is going to keep up for the remainder of the season.
I think I kind of buy it.
Why? What is it about it?
I see the results and it looks real to me.
I see the results. I like the results. I hope they continue, but I feel like it's one pitch that he's added that has been really frustrating for hitters, and you would think that eventually it's going to get caught up to. Maybe not by the Colorado Rockies, but by teams that actually see Hunter Brown a bit.
Part of it is maybe my expectations have lowered, that I view him as like a three in a rotation.
Like a good rotation or?
In a pitching rotation, yeah.
Any pitching rotation.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Cy Young thing that fans were trying to do because he had the same pitching motion as Justin Verlander, I'm fully off that still. Even though the recent stretch has been awesome, I don't believe that hype.
I don't even know if it's been awesome. It's been good. It's been good enough. It's been
pretty damn good.
I say good. Pretty damn good, awesome. That's a
Why
stretch.
Not?
I mean, we're talking about a guy who's had, what, like a 3 ERA over this stretch? That's good.
I think he's given up less than 3 earned runs in his last 5 starts.
I know he's had several quality starts in a row.
Yeah. I mean, he's been a good pitcher over his last, you know, handful of starts. It's just encouraging to see that. I don't believe he's this Cy Young winning guy that, you know, he's going to have this dominant stuff. Those to me were always unfair expectations. A lot of it was because of the Pitching Ninja video that came out where him and Verlander had the identical throwing motion and he idolized Justin Verlander. And I think Astros fans just kind of talked themselves into this next version of JV that was unrealistic. But yeah, I believe that he can be a very good pitcher for the Astros.
I'll say average. I'll say average to adequate. And if you continue to get this great, the offense needs to carry him.
Yeah.
Ronel Blanco brings up DBig99 on the twitch.tv/ESPN975. Blanco's one new pitch made him an all-star. And I mean, I'll be honest, there's a part of me that is also waiting for the other shoe to drop on Ronel Blanco. It is a changeup that is apparently unhittable, and it has been unhittable for the majority of the first half of the year.
Yeah, and that's where it's always what's real, what's not real. And how long do you need to truly, truly buy in? Like as a comp in a different sport, and you look at the trajectory of CJ Stroud amongst fans and media. Some people, you know, by week 4 were saying, hey, this is it. He's the guy. There are still a couple doubters out there on CJ Stroud.
But it's different with CJ Stroud because it's the guy who was the second overall pick versus Ronel Blanco, who didn't get into the majors until he was 29.
And Hunter Brown, who was never, you know, a top 50 prospect in all of baseball, but Astros fans just assumed he wanted to be great. But look, he's given up only more than 3 earned runs in 1 start since May. So I believe that this, you know, stretch is, at least for the foreseeable future, I buy into. I do agree with you, though, that there could be the, you know, once the book is out, what's the adjustment? You know, does that happen at the All-Star break? Does that happen in 2025? Like, at some point, does this become unrealistic for both Blanco and Brown? But you would think between the two of them, it should stick with at least one, I would say. Maybe it's a coin flip of which one this is the real deal on. But with at least one of them, I would imagine that this is who they are.
If I see Hunter Brown do this against a better team than Detroit, L.A., the White Sox, then I will feel a little bit better. But for now, there is a part of me that is enjoying what I'm seeing, and he deserves a lot of credit for sticking through this, for bouncing back. But I want to see what happens in a higher stakes game. He wasn't bad, I guess, against the Minnesota Twins at the beginning of the month.
Okay, yeah.
But he wasn't like really good either. He was in the middle of the road. He gave up 2 home runs. So I guess the next time that they play the Minnesota Twins, if he's up on the rotation, especially with things as weird as they are now, seeing as they only have a 4-man rotation, we'll see. Blanco's been great. I hope it continues. But it's Hunter Brown on the hill for the Astros tonight against the Colorado Rockies. What do you do to calm your nerves? Nick Bjens is a golfer who qualified for his first ever PGA Tour event at the Rocket Mortgage Tournament. And before the playoff to qualify for the Rocket Mortgage, he pounded three beers. And he won the playoff after pounding three beers.
So it makes him a little more relaxed, probably. A little more zen.
That's a tough thing in golf. As someone who used to golf a lot and realized that I enjoy much more drinking with friends than I enjoy the actual golf part of it, it's a tricky balance when you're having a few with the boys of being at a place where you're in a good place, but also being in a place where you can golf successfully.
Yeah.
Three beers seems like it would not be the best idea.
When I first saw the story, I thought I was going to say like a beer.
Three.
A shot. Like a one of thing to calm your nerves. Three's a good, that's a good chunk of change to be dropping before a game there and before a big golf tournament and really be feeling yourself. Maybe it's too much.
Was it three like back to back to back? Is he just shotgunning them?
Yeah, like three in a row, just like chug, chug, chug.
There's no extra context, and I've been looking for it, but per Monday Q Info, which is at A Case of the Golf 1, Nick Bjens has never played a PGA Tour sanctioned event. He has never played an event bigger than a state open. He pounded three beers before the playoff and qualified for the Rocket Mortgage.
Pounded makes it seem like it was back to back to back.
Yeah.
It sounds like he shotgunned them. Right. Yeah. And from this picture, he doesn't exactly look like the biggest guy ever. What I would do in this situation, a situation where I'm nervous, say right before I did stand-up a year ago, opening for Donnell Rawlings, what I did was I took a shot, a single shot.
I'm trying to think.
I think a shot or a drink, like, I think that should be about the limit of what
I agree.
You do.
I ripped
maybe two beers.
I ripped a double shot before my wedding to try to calm the nerves.
Oh, how'd that go?
It worked out pretty well.
You felt like it was good?
Yeah. I was still married.
Still married.
It worked out well.
Yeah. I remember my ring today. I don't wear it a lot.
One of my best friends, and I'll just say that he is, he can do a lot of this. He smoked a lot of marijuana. A lot of marijuana.
It makes me too calm.
I thought to myself, man, that is a lot of marijuana, but he was totally fine. He had a great time at the wedding. I thought to myself, though, if I did that, I would get way into my own head.
It was his own wedding?
Yeah, it was his own wedding.
Huh.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I mean, maybe his wife was doing the same thing. I don't know.
Maybe.
But whatever the case, I was impressed. He is he's a big guy. Like, but I would not have done that if I were in his shoes. Whatever. To each their own.
Yeah, whatever works.
Some people rip before they go and do something that's nerve-wracking.
I used to drop the kids off before like every big event.
Are you a nervous drop the kids offer?
I used to be, yeah.
And you have a kid, so let's differentiate. You're talking about something else.
Yes, I'm talking about something else. But yeah, it used to be like the debate team, speech team I was on when I was in musicals, football games. Like it was like,
really?
Yeah, every time.
That's
every game,
bizarre.
Every event.
That is bizarre.
It was like clockwork.
You never had to go until then?
Yeah, it's kind of what it felt like.
Was it like a last-minute thing, like where it's like...
No, it was within like an hour and a half.
Okay. Yeah, it was
like, it
wasn't like an emergency situation, yeah.
Or just like if every time you're like, oh, man, I...
Yeah, just I knew it was coming. And maybe at one point it became like psychological.
Yeah.
And it was just like, hey, like this has to happen.
Is that a thing with stage. Bill... Or wasn't it a thing with Bill Russell where he would throw up before games? I thought that was some great NBA player that you're like, I don't know. After year 10 of the NBA, I can't imagine you're throwing up before games. But yeah, some people have that. I'm thinking, and I don't really have like that. Or growing up, I never had that.
Yeah.
I will. Like Paul, like I'll have a shot, a drink if I'm about to do something, whatever that I need to be calm.
I don't even know what I would need to do it for at this point in my life. I guess like, if I gave like a best man speech, maybe. Or, like, officiated a wedding. But, like, at this point in my life, I'm just like, what if my life could happen that I guess I could take a shot before like the next kid's born when that eventually happens. But like,
so it's so hard for the husband, I hear.
Yeah.
To sit there and not do anything.
I was pretty nervous though.
Yeah, well, yeah, you'd definitely be nervous.
I did not know what was going on.
But it's not like you don't have to do anything. You're just in for the ride. You're just sitting.
That's true, for the most part.
Yeah. Nick Biens did more than
he won a playoff.
That's a good point.
So anyway, shout out to Nick Biens. It is Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 to call to text. You can join on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975, or on YouTube at ESPN Houston. Coming up next, time for a deep steel blue pill. Maybe one of the Texans we have the most questions about this season. He's still got it. Don't worry. Per one of our favorite athletes of all time in this town. It's Gallant and George. Stick around.
You're listening to Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
What a Tuesday it's been.
It's only Tuesday.
We've talked about what the Astros are hunting.
Yeah.
We've talked about what the Rockets are hunting with the draft tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about press conferences, do's and don'ts, whether it's Jim Schlossnagel at Texas A&M or J.J. Redick with the Los Angeles Lakers. But we haven't given you something. And we know you've been craving it. We know that you guys are so excited for the start of the Houston Texans season. We're getting closer and closer. And to get you excited, we're going to present you with something that's known to get you excited. It's called a deep steel blue pill.
Little blue pills can take 30 minutes to get you ready for excitement.
So that's why we're giving you a big, deep, steel blue pill.
You take the blue pill, believe whatever you want.
Get it up for the Texans and take this deep, steel blue pill.
And by the way, she'll like it too.
Texas floor. Okay, Case Keenum.
Yes, the GOAT.
Heroes. Beloved son, Houston's beloved son, my bad. Yeah, Houston's beloved son, Case Keenum, the greatest quarterback in Houston sports history.
That's a fact.
He's probably played the longest.
the most years, yes.
Case Keenum has played with Stephon Diggs a couple of times before. In Minnesota and in Buffalo. And guess what? At a football camp that he was at, in a conversation he had with KPRC's Aaron Wilson, he thinks Stephon Diggs still has it.
Yeah, it's really cool to get back out there and to see Stephon on the practice field and to watch him just absolutely do some dirty things with some routes that I haven't seen anybody else be able to do. He's a dynamic player, and he has not lost a step. If anything, he's got more savviness with some stuff that he could put some extra sauce in some routes when he needs to, but know when there's not time to take patience, he's got to go right now. So he's done a great job of continuing to build his craft and work his tool set. So I'm excited to see what he can do in the fall.
Dirty things. Working his tool.
Dirty things.
Tool set. Don't put that on the greatest Houston quarterback of all time.
He knows what he's talking about.
Defended the honor of the Oilers.
He did.
Played at U of H for 900 years.
No, it was Come seven. On. Don't hate.
700 years.
Had the greatest first half a Texans quarterback at that time had ever had.
At that time, yes.
Three touchdown passes against the Indianapolis Colts in the weirdest football game I've ever seen, where Gary Kubiak had a stroke in the third quarter.
He was so good. Never mind.
Don't say that. Come on, Sean.
No, I didn't say it. I didn't say
it. You thought it.
I didn't say it.
We know where the mind was going.
You thought it, too.
No, I didn't until you said it, Sean.
I didn't say it.
2013
I just said he was so good.
You opened Pandora's box.
2013 was such a downer of a year where it got to the point where it was a massive controversy that I wrote a column about for the flagship website about how Gary Kubiak had to go for putting Matt Shaw back in over Case Keenum.
Oh, those had to be the days, Paul.
Those were the days. I used to do this thing called Texans Replay where we would play essentially highlights of the game over the course of an hour. So I'd write out the script for the Texans voice guy, And the problem was, I mean, they lost 14 games in a row. So, in between quarters, I would be doing teases to commercial breaks. And I remember multiple times, the Texans trailed 28-7. Could they rally back? Stick around for more. And I remember we were talking about it, saying to ourselves, what do you want us to do here? Because this clearly is not optimal programming.
Yeah, like at some point you have to bail on that decision.
But you couldn't. No, we couldn't.
Oh, that's tough.
We had that all 16 games.
I'm so sorry to hear that.
Those Case Keenum games in 2013, though,
were fun.
They were fun, but then I think it got like a bridge too far with the he should now be the quarterback of the Texans. Where I'm like, whoa. They're still, I think they're like 0-7 in the games that he started. I'm like, he's been fun. He's been kind of good.
But it wasn't his fault they were losing.
Come on. Come on.
The first two games, he played very well.
He did.
There was the Chiefs game. The Chiefs game was really interesting because of all the guys who got arrested for smoking a J in a hotel room in Kansas City.
I forgot
Sierre
about that.
Wood, Sam Montgomery, and Willie Jefferson. And it was a shame because Jefferson was actually a good player, but I think Willie Jefferson was the guy who was in the car with Josh Gordon at Baylor when they fell asleep in the Taco Bell drive-thru.
How much weed do you have to smoke to fall asleep in the Taco Bell drive-thru?
I mean,
a good amount.
A good amount.
But it's a delicate because you had to be able to get to the Taco Bell drive-thru, you know?
They should not have been driving. Here's the thing. I'm not making excuses for them. All I know is that sometimes late at night, those drive-thrus are very, very slow for those 24-hour places.
Taco Bell especially. So Taco Bell is a terrible drive-thru.
Whataburger as well. So if you're not moving for a little bit, yeah, if you're drowsy, dangerous. You might want to go inside for these. Yeah. And a lot of these places, you can't go inside for.
The Whataburger that's over here, that's not far from the station.
Yes, the one on Chimney Rock.
Worst Whataburger on the history of planet Earth.
It's terrible.
You could go at midnight or 2 in the afternoon, and there's no one in line, and it takes you 20 minutes to get through line. I don't understand.
I would try to, when I used to work overnights, I would try to pick it up to have something to eat at midnight, and I would end up, like, not completely running late, but I would get there at like 11:30, and then it'd be like 11:55, and I'm leaving the drive-thru.
Yes.
I'm like, how did this take 25 minutes?
Yes, it's the worst, and it's been years. It's been like that since I started working at Gao in 2015 was my first stint. It's been that bad since. Yeah. It's got to be changes, everything.
We stand with Tony Jefferson.
Yeah.
Alex Houston on YouTube, at ESPN Houston, says, no, it's not as bad as the San Felipe Winrog location. I would say that there is one, and this actually might be the one he's talking about. There's one that was right by where I used to live over in Greenway Plaza, and they never would get my order right, and it drove me crazy. Because I love the honey barbecue sandwich on Texas toast.
So good. Yeah.
They'd always forget to put it on Texas toast, and they'd leave the cheese on. And your boy don't like cheese.
Have you ever been in a drive-thru so long that you had to bail? So you could get to work on time? Because I had to do that at that Whataburger.
You did?
Oh, okay.
I was in line for so long that I paid. And the person who was on the board was being a little B. So I was like, well, I guess I'm not eating tonight. And I just left.
Wow.
That's not good.
Speaking of work, I'd like to make a PSA real quick.
Hit us.
We've had a bunch of texts over the course of this show.
About
the signal today. Apparently it's awful. I'd just like to remind everyone that we have the ESPN Houston app. You can download that on your phone, whether it's an Apple or Android phone. And it's awesome, and it works all the time.
Yeah.
We are well aware of what the signal is. Highly recommend the app for your listening experience.
Or YouTube.
Or Twitch.
.com at ESPN Houston or twitch.tv/ESPN975. I would recommend that you watch those two because then you get to see how handsome I look in my Mario Ellie jersey today. Short shorts are on. I got yellow socks.
Maybe they're driving. They don't want to be distracted
by
your Mario.
That's fair. But you can also listen on those two as well.
Yeah, that's true. You can.
And comment directly with the show.
It'd be so hard not to look that.
Man, we're getting. I don't know how this Deep Steel Blue Pill turned into jump on your local Whataburger. Someone's texting
it. I can help you.
Sam Montgomery Tony
Case Keenum, 2013. Players suspended from weed, then connected to Josh Gordon, falling asleep, then to Whataburger.
Right, because we went to like, hey, I can understand why Josh Gordon would fall asleep in the drive-thru at Taco Bell, And then we started talking about how Whataburger is frustrating. Somebody said the one on West Park off of Wesley. Admit to that one. That one's actually not that bad, but there's another one that's north in the Greenway Plaza area that would take their sweet time. And on top of that, someone is also saying the one that's nearby where I go to the gym, the 24-hour fitness on Voss, saying that one isn't good. So I guess all of the Whataburgers that are within 2 miles of where our station is
are not great.
We're in the dead zone.
The dead zone of Whataburgers here in Houston,
hey,
Texas.
But you
that's
know
a
what?
Shame.
Stephon Diggs, dirty this year.
Yeah, dirty
that's
routes.
True. Stephon Diggs is dirty. The tool works. Watch out, world. And there you go. It's Scalon and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, Desert Strove. You're going to go get baked and go for fast food. Go to Sonic. You park and they bring the food to you. Hey, we would actually just recommend you don't smoke the ganja because it's illegal here, guys. It's illegal. Coming up next, this NFL coach might be bleeped. Why? You'll find out next in a little garbage time. Stick around.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Last chance today, it's Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Sometimes we should be able to turn on the microphones during the commercial break because I just said an all-time line. But hey, guys, Antonio Pierce, head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders, might be in all-time trouble. This story popped up. According to a recent court filing in Arizona, the wife of Raiders head coach Antonio Pierce has filed for bankruptcy. The filing was made in the United States Bankruptcy Court for the District of Arizona, June 12, 2024, by Pierce's wife, Jocelyn. The filing states the Las Vegas head coach invested in car dealerships that defaulted on their loans. So Pierce was named as the guarantor of judgments in this write-up, court filing, that equal more than $28 million. $28 million. 23 coming from Nissan. 4.5 coming from Hyundai. So.
What?
Hyundai?
Hyundai.
Hyundai.
Okay.
Well, I'm just reading it.
Joe, it's Hyundai. Paul, you can say it however you want.
I was just making sure I wasn't missing.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Sorry, Paul.
It's okay. It's okay. I don't know how to pronounce it. Unless they would endorse me, I don't think I would ever buy one either. I don't like the logo that they have. It's kind of like ugly. Anyway, whatever. Antonio Pierce, theoretically, because of whatever salary he is making with the Vegas Raiders, could be coaching for free this year.
Oh, that's tough.
Now, I'm sure learn more details about this in the days to come. Because right now, we are legitimately just responding to a bankruptcy filing, but it does involve Antonio Pierce, and that is a lot of money. And you would assume that an NFL head coach isn't making that kind of money.
No, well, especially not the Raiders.
Right.
Who just had John Gruden for 10 years, $100 million.
Exactly.
And he coached 2 years of that contract, and then they signed Josh McDaniels to a 6-year contract in which he coached one season. I bet you Antonio Pierce is one of the lowest paid coaches in baseball. I mean, in football right now.
I don't know the salary, but Nissan and Hyundai attempted to garnish his wages.
That's tough. Whew. $28 million.
So they're also trying to satisfy judgments from marital assets as well. My God, this sucks. Yeah. I feel bad for Antonio Pierce.
Yeah, you make now, bad investments. You make bad investments.
I mean, he was an NFL player.
Yeah, athletes never go pro.
He was at ESPN as well.
He's always had a high paying job for since he graduated college.
Man,
and he was at Arizona State.
So I guess
he was a coach there.
He was a coach at Arizona State. They got hit with a ton of sanctions.
They
and
did.
Then he left.
Antonio Pearson sanctions Arizona State. This lawsuit.
When you said the state of Arizona, I thought it was going into Arizona State stuff. Wow.
Yeah.
Coaching for free in the NFL, that's tough.
I feel like the ghost of Al Davis or Mark Davis needs to give him a raise. But I feel like the ghost of Al Davis would have to do some nefarious things that result in barrels in that lake, if you will. Lake Mead.
But like Joe mentioned, like this isn't a cash flush organization, yeah. Period, or at the moment.
No.
You probably just have to – I mean, which is still crazy. Like, they have the most expensive tickets in the NFL, and they're still not like a flush organization in cash. But they've just done so many bad things.
I bet maybe a decade from now, different story. But right now, yeah, this is rough.
Doesn't that feel like the Davis family, as long as they own it, they won't be good?
I don't know. I think if you're in Vegas, the value of your franchise goes up exponentially from where it was when you were playing in that rinky-dink dump of a stadium that you shared with the Oakland A's.
Yeah, that's true. I've always been curious, like, what the player reaction will be to Vegas. Like will players with families, will they want to move to Las Vegas and settle down? I would assume so.
I mean, they do have the no state income tax thing going for
them. That does help them, but so does Texas. Texans better than Raiders. Fact.
Swarm.
I think if you're a young player, you'll love it there. I think if you're not, yeah, it might be something that gets old.
I also feel like if I'm the Raiders, though, and I'm drafting or signing a young player, and they seem super excited to play in Vegas, don't want them. I don't want you. If you're like, you know, playing in Vegas is super appealing to me, I'm like, how appealing and why? Why exactly are you so excited to live in Las Vegas, 22-year-old?
That's a good point.
And if I don't like the answer, not on my team.
Yeah.
We want, like, Boy Scouts here.
I would imagine that their recruiting process and scouting process is much more challenging than a lot of other teams. Because, like, yeah, a lot of NFL players can just gamble now illegally and get caught and get suspended for it. But when you live in Vegas, it is a whole different animal. Of just like what you're around constantly.
Yeah.
So I would imagine you have to be pretty thorough about these people's bathrooms.
Especially a team with the track record of the Raiders, which wasn't exactly awesome even before they got to Las Vegas. Yeah. Hasn't been great since they got to Vegas either.
And, you know, just tell, hey, guys, when you get here, don't listen to Coach Pierce for, like, you know, financial.
If he definitely comes not. To you with any.
I just say, hey, Coach, just let's talk football.
He might need to do a keynote speech on what not to do with your money. It is Gallant and George. Yes, Joe?
Per Brett Zwerneman. I probably butchered your name, Brett. Brett, I'm sorry. Just to be clear, updated story here. Jim Schlossnagel is still deciding between the University of Texas job and the Texas A&M job. Just to be clear, he left his family for the Texas A&M job. But he's still deciding if he wants to move to Austin.
Now he's about to leave his Aggie family. What do you think about that, 12s? It's time for garbage time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Guys, love is in the air. Not just
Paul?
At Taylor Swift's concert in London.
You're in love?
No.
Oh.
Taylor Swift's concert in London featured Travis Kelce. Well, guess what? The Kansas City Chiefs are teaming up with Hallmark to produce a Christmas movie. The title? Holiday Touchdown, A Chiefs Love Story.
Okay.
Is it autobiographical for their tight end?
From what I am reading... No. This is the statement that the Chiefs have written about this Hallmark collaboration. We are honored to partner with Hallmark on a project as unique as this. As a club, we pride ourselves on exploring new ways to grow our brand as well as connect with new audiences. This partnership unites two passionate fan bases and gives us an opportunity to show Chiefs Kingdom's energy and tradition on one of the most watched channels during the holiday season. Production is going to begin in July and film in Kansas City. Continues the statement, with Hallmark and the Chiefs both homegrown, rooted in values, tradition, and community, there's a special alchemy between these two iconic organizations. By blending the warmth of Hallmark storytelling with the excitement of professional football, we are thrilled to give audiences a front row seat to this community's spirit, rich traditions, and passionate fans that define Kansas City, all wrapped up in the comforting and uplifting Hallmark way.
Is Andy Reid going to play Santa Claus?
I don't know. It's going to star Tyler Hines, Hunter King, and Ed Begley Jr.
I don't know any of those people.
I don't either.
If I'm supposed to, I don't know them.
This better feature Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce.
Just in the background.
A cameo.
Yeah.
Can they afford Taylor Swift at the Hallmark Channel?
No. Also, them reaching a new audience. Hey, Chiefs, your tight end has already reached this audience.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, any focus, other team in the league needs to reach this audience. I think the Chiefs got it.
Focus on getting the spelling correct on your Super Bowl rings. Okay.
Well, it was a typo on the score for the Dolphins or something.
They called them a 7 seed and they're the 6 seed.
I'd more say like, hey, the Chiefs, like, I don't know, like let's get rid of Isaiah Bugs and Rashee Rice.
They cut Bugs.
And also let's consider using less blood diamonds for your Super Bowl rings. Especially seeing as you've already won 2 more.
Or more blood diamonds. Go full for
damn, Joe. sounded like China operating in the Congo right now. And on that note, we're going to wrap up the Galanta George radio program. Big thanks to Sean Mapes behind the glass.
China calls me an elf.
Big thanks to Joe George for taking all my crap. I am merely Paul Gallant. So long. Farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful Tuesday. The Killer Bees are next. Peace.
I really don't give a f***.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.